By the time we get home, the sun's under the earth. Elias and me slog into the kitchen where Mama's sitting at the table with Uncle Bump. As expected, she's in a dither. There's no sweet smell of hen wafting through the house. Worse, her usual "I've been working hard and I'm glad I'm home" smile is gone. "Where you been?" she snaps. My bottom lip shakes. I hate how that happens. Then everyone can tell I've got the fidgets. I wonder why I've got to have a giveaway lip. "Sorry," I tell her. I pull out a chair and sit. And I don't know how I think so fast under pressure, but I do. I cross my fingers under the kitchen table so God won't hold anything against me. "What actually happened is," I say, "I'm about to tell Mama and Uncle Bump how a big, mean dog came and chased Flapjack up a tree right outside the very fine fabric shop. I'm about to tell him that no matter how much I whistled and clicked, Flapjack wouldn't come on down. I'm about to tell him that if I left Flapjack there, that dog would have eaten my poor cat for supper. But before I do, Mama cuts her eyes at me real mean and says, 'If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a fibber.' And I just put my lips back together right there." Mama turns to Elias. "I've been worried sick. You know how I feel about you being out late, especially when you got your sister with you. She's just a little girl, Elias." "Sorry, Mama," Elias says. "I'm not little," I say. Uncle Bump tries to change the subject. He bows his head. "Thank you, Lord, for the food you placed before us," he says. There's a bowl of gray boiled potatoes in the center of the table. And one thing's clear, they sure aren't hen. Mama probably fixed up the hen so good that the Tate family ate it all and there wasn't any left to bring home. "This looks delicious," Elias says. He spears a potato with his fork. But Mama, she yanks that fork full of potato right out of my brother's hand. "I don't want to see no one eating till I get an explanation." The fork trembles in Mama's hand because she's so worried and mad. Being worried and mad is like biscuits and gravy for Mama. The two just go together. "We were picking out dye for Addie Ann when we run into someone to talk to," Elias says. "It was real important." But Mama doesn't see it that way. Not at all. She points her potato fork at my brother, then at me. "When I send my kids over to the white side, I don't expect them to come through that door after the sun is set." Mama's so angry, she doesn't even ask what color dye I have in my sack. Now, who's so important to talk to when it's already getting dark? "It was just Bessie," Elias says. "She was working at the shop. We got to talking about Medgar Evers and..." It seems Mama's heard the news too. She sits down her potato fork, closes her weary eyes, and starts praying for the dead man's soul. But her prayers sound more like complaining. "Dear Lord," she says, "that Medgar didn't deserve to die. He been stirring up trouble, trying to get them schools mixed up, colored and white as they should. And he been helping sign up Negro voters, Lord. 'Cause don't every person supposed to have a voice in these United States? What's so special about the vote? Mama always carries on about it, but what difference could one of her votes make anyway? Well, one thing's clear. She thinks Medgar Evers' work to help Negroes vote is more important than eating dinner while it's hot." Now Mama shakes her head like she just can't believe this Medgar guy's dead and gone. "Lord, you listen to me," she says. "You bless Medgar's hard-working, full-of-courage soul. After that, how am I supposed to eat? Hen or no hen, my stomach's knotted up knowing someone can get killed for doing heaps of good."